Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the Hoops High Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Scotto. Joining me today on the Hoops High Podcast is one of the top shot blockers in the league, Indiana Pacers center Miles Turner. Miles, I appreciate you coming on the pod with us today. You've been in Orlando for a little over a month now. How would you describe life in the bubble so far?
Yeah, man, life in the bubble's not that bad at all. I think that, people outside looking in, at first, it was like, oh, man, the food is terrible. You have all these athletes in this bubble confined to this space. But to be honest, I think the NBA and, Disney, Player Association, everybody involved did a really good job setting this up. You know, the food is great. You know, we're probably in the safest place in the U.S. right now. We're doing what we love for a living, we have a national spotlight to highlight things that we want to get out. So I think it's been good, man. It's been solid.
Knock on wood, you guys continue to have success with the bubble. Always good to see each week when no one tests positive. That's a blessing at this time in a global pandemic. I would imagine, though, you do have a decent amount of downtime. What apps and games do you and other players use in the bubble?
Everybody's playing Call of Duty right now, Warzone, and I feel that's huge. A lot of everybody's been on that. I know that's just teams we actually play. We play some Uno games here and there. We go to team dinners a lot. But as far as like, apps and games, I mean, everybody's on Zoom, obviously. Me personally, I put together a whole bunch of puzzles. You know, I get bored. That kind of just helps me pass the time. As a whole, man, everybody kind of just does their own thing. Like, everybody kind of just chills out in their rooms. And, you practice, about 2-3 hours a day. Then you got the rest of the day to do whatever you want. Or you have your game, which takes up, 2-3 hours of the day. And then you just chill all day. So,
How about social media and whatnot? I mean, I would assume you guys are on Instagram, Twitter, and whatnot. How for you has social media affected your daily life as an NBA player?
I think it has a huge impact just because of, now that we're bored, we have so much downtime. A lot of us are on Instagram and Twitter and kind of just seeing what people got to say about certain issues or certain things or ourselves. So it has as much of an impact as you let it. Some people can impact them negatively. For other people, like myself, I just use it for entertainment purposes, So I feel like it's just kind of, you gotta let the chips fall where they may with that. So you gotta control when it comes to that social media stuff.
We've seen a little bit of the petty wars with Pat Beverly, Paul George, and Dame yesterday going at it on Instagram. What do you think when you see stuff like that around the league and guys going at it in social media once they're outside the lines of the court?
I mean, I think, like I said, I use it for entertainment purposes. I think it's funny. Some people get at it a little bit more than others, but, for the most part, you handle your business on the court. That's where everybody can talk their mess or, say what they want to say. You let your playing do the talk. Social media is cool and all, but, once you get to it on the court, nobody can say anything to you, once you're out there doing your thing.
And for you individually, you've got, I think, over 220,000 followers on Instagram. You got about 100,000 on Twitter. Do you ever use social media to help in the dating game at all? Maybe slide in the DMs or have even some girls slide in your DMs? Obviously, you're a popular figure. What's that like for you?
Yeah, man. I think my first couple of years in the league, I was heavy on that just because it was a newfound fame and you finally get the blue check and obviously that raises a couple more eyebrows. But here and there I'll slide, but for the most part I kind of just chill, bro. Like if you go out there and chase it, more than likely it's not for you. So I kind of just I personally like to be out in person, actually meet somebody in person. The social media is all, everybody can look good with a filter and with certain angles, but if you're out there and actually get to have an intelligent conversation with somebody and actually be around the game, then it's going to be better for you in the long run. But, Instagram's just cool to look at here and there.
Certainly, makeup can do wonders for certain people at times and whatnot.
Right.
obviously for you, even having people slide in your DMs, I'm sure that's always an adventure. When you are off the court and you say, like, you're trying to meet people, in person, what is it like dating as an NBA player, especially you? I mean, you're not a small guy. You're a center. You're 7 feet. What is it like for you dating as an NBA player?
That's kind of the same thing I was saying on social media, bro. It just is what you make it. You know, for some people, really love going out there and being, being around multiple women like all the time. Other people are just real low key with it. You know, I mean, we're all men, and we all have our we all do what we want to do. But I think that it can be. You open yourself up to so much more the more and more people you open yourself up to. So I think my first like couple years in the league, you know, I got freedom. I'm 19, 20 years old, have money in my pocket. So you think you're king of the world. So yeah, I was out there chasing a bit, but now, I mean, I'm not going to say like I'm OG in the game. You're only 24 years old, but I kind of just don't like go for the chase as much anymore. The chase isn't as fun for me. You know, it's just, if I'm out and like, and I see something I like, then yeah, I'm going to say something, but for the most part, I just don't go out like looking for it or seeking for it. So I've just seen women get a lot of guys caught up in this league and in the NFL and all these other professional sports leagues. So women can be an ultimate downfall for a lot of people. So I'm just trying not to make the mistakes that some of my predecessors have.
You know, it's funny. They always tell you on the court sometimes, let the game come to you. And it seems like off it, you have that same approach in a way. Even for you guys, especially in this day and age, you know, with social media really growing over the past, I'd say 15 years or so, and you know, sites like TMZ and whatnot, you got to move differently at all, like as a person and whatnot? And do you feel like people always, in a sense, like there's like eyeballs always watching your every move because you are a public figure?
Yeah, of course. You have to, there's certain things that come with the territory of living this lifestyle. You know, for someone like me, 7 foot, you can, even if they don't recognize me for who I am, they're just automatically assume, oh, he's black and he's tall, he's got to play basketball, or he sticks out in the crowd, so you got to do something. So you're going to get attention wherever you go. And then that automatically makes you're not a normal, 24-year-old. You can't go out there and wild out and do the things that you would normally do, behind closed doors, or do with your friends, or act like a college kid. You know, if I was, my teammate, like TJ McConnell, like he might get recognized by some people, but for the most part, he'll be able to fit in with the crowd. You know, he's like 6 feet tall, and he kind of just blends in with some people. So I don't really necessarily have that luxury. So, I've gotten used to it. I'm accustomed to it. I don't have to carry myself out professionally in public, but I still have my fun. I'm just smart with it.
And you talked about earlier having some downtime. You certainly have a chance to maybe watch a little bit more TV, a show that you're a fan of, and I will admit I'm a fan too. My wife had gotten me into it years back, but The Bachelor and The Bachelorette series. How do you feel about how Tayshia coming on as the Bachelorette, and could we ever see you one day try out for that show as the Bachelor?
I would never subject myself to that public scrutiny and all that TV BS that you see on there, bro. All that shit is all scripted, and I got to say certain things and do certain things. I just want to subject myself to that kind of scrutiny. I think it's just a lot of pressure to be in that position. I am a fan of the drama and the entertainment aspect of it. I think it's funny. It's something to do, something to watch, something to talk about. It's a good conversation piece. But for the most part, this is my first season, actually, this season I'm watching. And it was this, it's a good conversation piece, but I'm not too heavily ingrained with it. I'm not even sure what's coming up next. Like, they had a little follow your heart thing with the singing, like BS, whatever. I wasn't really a fan of that. So I definitely am waiting for the next season. I'm curious to see what the Bachelorette has in store. I watched The Bachelor, the dude version, but I haven't watched the girl version yet. So I'm curious to what that's like.
Think of it as like Petty Wars with the NBA only on TV. and certain, this summer we missed Bachelor in Paradise, which personally I get a kick out of some summer nights just to pass the time and whatnot after working out. But all right, maybe down the line you'll try to win the heart of a celebrity, but your priority right now is trying to win a championship with the Pacers, and this is going to be your fifth consecutive trip to the playoffs. You've been in the playoffs all 5 years since you entered the league. And for you guys right now, TJ Warren is lighting it up like Times Square on New Year's Eve. What's been, in your opinion, the biggest difference in his game during the restart of the NBA bubble?
I mean, TJ's always been a scorer. I mean, I feel like he just hasn't had the national exposure because he's been in Phoenix, you know, not necessarily a team that a lot of people are watching in the past, but and even Indy's not like a huge national spotlight, but he's doing it on a, you know, on a bigger stage than he has in the past. So I think that for the most part, TJ's just very locked in and very focused right now. I think that he's playing better off the ball. I think he's making better decisions with the ball as well. And just putting the ball in the hoop, man. Like, so he's just in a great place right now. He's got to continue to be himself. So we'll see what the future entails. But, I mean, I don't see him slowing down anytime soon.
As teammates, is there a different energy when a guy is – lighting it up like that and in such a zone as he's been lately? You know, he's arguably been, you know, the MVP of the bubble.
Yeah, I just think that, bro, once you find that zone and you don't get out of it, bro, he's just, the sky's the limit. So I personally think he's the best player in the bubble right now. And you know, I'm obviously a little biased, but you know, I've seen, you know, like Devin Booker, he's playing pretty well. I mean, obviously LeBron, he's doing what he's doing, but as a whole, I don't think there's anybody that's, you know, matched what he's done.
Going into the playoffs, lately we've seen pundits and media experts, they've been talking a lot about the Milwaukee Bucks, the Toronto Raptors, and, you know, at times I've even seen the Boston Celtics as the contenders in the East. For you personally and you guys collectively in the locker room, is there a bit of a chip on your shoulder that people are kind of counting you guys out for a deep run in the East, at least as of right now?
I mean, as they should. Those are great teams, and those guys are, you know, have proven track records, you know, what they've done in the past. And I just think as a whole, like, if you play in Indiana or you're an Indiana fan, you're used to like being, having that chip on the shoulder and being underrated in a sense, because that's how it is for us every single year. You know, we have to go out there and prove it. We're not going to get the national love. We're not going to get the attention that we feel we deserve. So it's got to go out there and take it. So honestly, you know, to say I have a chip on my shoulder is one thing, but to say I'm just kind of expecting to be, you know, counted out, that's another. So I think that's kind of more of an accurate depiction of it.
Part of the reason maybe people are not as high on Indiana as you guys are without your all-star Domantas Sabonis, and Victor Oladipo's continuing to round in a form following his return to action. When you first heard that Sabonis was out indefinitely, what went through your mind?
One of the first things that went through my mind is the fact that I was going to go back to playing the five. You know, the five positions where I've become accustomed to being in this league. It's what I played my entire career. You know, this year I've had to play the four and spread on the perimeter a bit more. And it was a little different for me because I wasn't necessarily used to it in the sense. Like, I could shoot the ball, but there's a lot of other stuff that comes with playing the four position. Playing the five, you know, you have the ball in your hands a lot more. You're making a lot more decisions. You know, you get more of a rhythm. So I just knew that I was going to have an opportunity to go back to, you know, my position. I was going to be able to step up and, you know, just play and play in a more elevated role.
You know, you talked about that switch. In today's NBA, I feel like a lot of teams are going the opposite way of what you guys were trying to do for most of the year and playing two traditional big men. You see a lot more small ball. For you, what did you think were the pros and the cons at times of having those two bigs in the lineup when it was you and Domantas Sabonis?
Oh, well, the pros were definitely, like I said, we were bigger, so we were able to out-rebound teams. We were able to kind of out-scrap teams, and we were stronger. And then teams had to match up to us. You know, they couldn't necessarily win us at a match with them. We had 14 to match with us. The cons were we didn't play as fast as we might have wanted to. And, you know, when you're playing a small ball team like a Houston, like they spread you out more and they present their talents defensively. But for the most part, you know, we've also a great deal of success with it, and we just continue to roll with it.
Do you think at all having one less big like that out there has maybe opened the floor up a little bit for TJ Warren to have space on offense?
It's open the floor for everybody. TJ to, you know, Vic to Malcolm. I mean, teams have to respect me at the five, you know, shooting on the perimeter. So it lifts their five out the paint and creates driving lanes, driving possibilities for everybody. So it's actually we're able to get to the basket a lot more and take more plays.
And in the front court, you and Goga Patadze have going to get more minutes and whatnot. When the team drafted him in the first round, what went through your mind at that point, and what have you learned about his game?
Yeah, no, I think that Goga has learned a lot this just throughout the course of the year. I think that, you know, playing in Europe is one thing, but playing in the NBA, it's a different style of basketball. I think that he's actually very strong. That's one thing that people notice about him. When they both look at him, he's really strong. And he's continuing to learn how to use his body and make better plays. But he obviously has three-point touch. Shoot the ball. He's a great shot blocker. I think he played great yesterday against the Lakers. Yeah, it was a real growing moment for him, a big opportunity going against Dwight Howard, you know, a bigger guy, someone who was kind of pushing his buttons a little bit. But, you know, when we first drafted him initially, you know, I wasn't sure what to think. I'd never seen him play before. I'd never heard of him. But being around him every day, you know, he's real, you know, he's hungry. He loves the game of basketball. He's continuing to learn. He wants to learn. So, and he's confident. I think that's another big thing. You know, you have to have a certain level of confidence being a rookie in this league. So, you know, he's going to continue to get better. He's young. He has a lot of time to mature and grow in this league.
And you also touched on earlier about how Oladipo's gotten more space on the floor. There was a time when Vic wasn't going to play in the restart, but then he decided to join you guys. Did you or any other players talk to him before he made his decision to come back?
Not really. Vic was kind of doing his own thing, kind of rehabbing and whatnot away from the team. And I think he was actually in a pretty good place with what he was doing. And I think that Vic, for the most part, he wanted to play, but, you know, he wasn't sure if he was ready. You know, this is an injury that's only happened a handful of times professional basketball. And he didn't want to come back too early and risk himself being hurt for the future. So I think so far so good, you know, from that aspect. He's continuing to rehab and get better, but I think with him playing right now, it's actually making his knee a bit stronger. So we'll continue to see how it goes.
From your vantage point, you've seen him at an all-star level. How has he looked in terms of getting back into that form?
I think Vic, he's got a little bit of a ways to go as far as getting back to the all-star level, but he looks great. Like, I think he's playing really well. Like, he's moving well. He's continuing to make better decisions out of double teams, and he's tending to move well, so I think that as a whole, like, he's going to take reps for him. I think the playoffs would be good for him to kind of, you know, get back in that spotlight, get back to doing what he does best, and, you know, time will tell.
Since he's come back to you guys, there's been some noise about him looking ahead towards his free agency. And, you know, you've been around the league long enough now where you see this stuff all the time. But, you know, teams like the Heat get mentioned. From your perspective, what do you make of that free agency talk a year in advance? And
I mean, it's just the media doing what the media does. They have to gaslight certain situations. And, you know, I don't think much of it because, you know, like you said, it's still a year out. You know, ultimately it's going to be up to him, a decision he wants to make or a decision that the front office wants to make. So until then, all I can do is control and hoop on the floor. So if he continues to be himself, then, you know, he can kind of create his own destiny. So I don't pay much attention to all that stuff.
When you guys are in the locker room, obviously you hear about that stuff or you see it on Twitter and whatnot. Do you guys as teammates and as friends – also, do you guys talk about that stuff?
Nah, man. We're all professionals. We all know that, like I said, the media has to gaslight certain things to create a story, create a narrative. So, like, we really don't care. We just play basketball.
For you personally, we talked about it being year five. Where do you think you are individually in terms of being the player that you want to be, and where do you want to go from here?
I think I still have a ways to go. You know, I still want to be – I feel like I'm very capable of being an all-star level player in this league. But, you know, one, it takes opportunity. And then another time, it just takes performance. Yeah, performing on the floor. You know, I think that You know, offensively, I've added, you know, tools in my game, and I'll continue to add tools in my game. But as a whole, you know, I still have a ways to go on the, just as far as the maturation and learning process. You know, I'm getting better defensively, continuing just to try and lead this team. But I think that I can always get better, you know, continue to add more and more stuff in my game year in and year out.
Has there been anything about the league that, now that you're a younger veteran, has maybe surprised you during your journey?
Yeah, just how trendy the league is. You know, when I first got to the league, you know, there was everybody's been was playing big, you know, with a big per se. And then it got to like the point where everybody wanted to be like the Warriors and just shoot a whole bunch of threes and, you know, play small ball. Then it went to just straight small ball with, you know, here with like Houston. And then I think that's going to trend back to bigs, and it's just going to keep trending that way. You know, I feel like it's a copycat league, and whatever works one year, guys can keep trying to do it year in, year out. So I think I was just surprised by how I think how trendy the league was, or the league is.
Anything off the court that maybe surprised you at all?
Not necessarily, man. I think maybe just how chill the lifestyle was. I would probably say that, like, I expected it to be, like, a little more, you know, more high gear, like, as far as, like, guys going out all the time and guys just, you know, constantly just being out and about. But for the most part, man, it's real chill. Like, guys kind of just do their own thing. Everybody has their own little personality. You know, you have your guys here and there that, you know, are just actually just want to get to it or party animals and stuff. But I haven't had a lot of teammates like that, so. It is what it is.
Well, some of that could be location based in Indiana. I'm not saying Indiana is not fun, because there are some fun things to do in Indiana, but different, definitely a different pace than a New York and an LA.
Yeah, most definitely.
What do you do downtime for fun?
Honestly, bro, like I really just stay at the house. Like, I don't go out at all. Like, I have my personal chef, so there's no need for me to go get groceries or go to restaurants or anything, you know, have my boys with me. So I don't really leave the house. I think my first couple of years, the most fun thing I did was actually go to different restaurants, different steakhouses and whatnot. I got on the lake a lot up in, it's like 30 minutes outside of downtown, up in Geist, fishing and just being on the boats. But right now, bro, I'm just real homebody.
Well, that's a good attitude to have, because we saw Michelle Roberts talk about the possibility of, depending on where this virus is in this global pandemic, by next season, they talked about the possibility of having to do the bubble again. Now, whether it's in multiple locations and the finer details of it, it remains to be seen. But for you, not only as a player, but as a person, if there was a possibility that you had to spend a whole season in a bubble again, how would you feel about that, and what do you think would be the pros and cons of it?
Well, it would suck. I mean, just being real, like I don't think anybody wants to do that. Like, you have to do what you have to do, I guess. But none of us want to be in this bubble like for an entire season. I think that it's just such an unprecedented time that, you know, you just have to continue to do whatever it takes to keep the league going, the league afloat. But as a whole, you know, if we have to, it's the way we're going to get our money. It's the way we're going to keep the league afloat. Everybody would have to be open to it. But pros of it would be that, you know, we keep the virus out. Cons of it is that, you know, this lifestyle is not for everybody. Human beings aren't meant to be isolated like this for, you know, especially that long time.
You just hit the nail on the head, in my opinion, about human beings and having to deal with this. I know for me personally, it's, I'm a social guy. I love seeing people. I love the company of people. How has it been for you, again, talking more off the court, in terms of mental health and a day-to-day, you know, you almost have mind games with yourself with this global pandemic. How have you dealt with that to try to keep yourself in a positive frame of mind during such uncertain times throughout the world?
I just mean, from a personal standpoint, just remember how blessed I am and how fortunate I am to be in the position that I'm in, and, you know, have my family around me to continue to, you know, support me, and obviously, you know, supporting them. So I just know a lot of good things in my life. I think from a humanity standpoint, it's just the fact that, you know, obviously it's a tough time right now, and things, like, you know, are, you know, could potentially get worse. But you just have to look at, you know, I guess like where you've come from to like to where you're at now and how you're progressing in your life. I think that from someone who's my age, like who's not in the NBA, who's not doing what they're doing, like this is a really pivotal part of your life. You're either just graduating college or, you know, you're in the middle of, you know, working class. So, you know, it's like, what do you do from here? Are you going to give up or are you going to continue to keep striving forward? So I just think that that's such a pivotal point in my life that I'm just thankful that I can be in the position where I'm at. It's hard for me to, you know, dwell on the negatives with all the positives that I have.
And one of the positives is that, you know, thankfully, knock on wood, your dad has been doing well since his recovery from dealing with COVID. For people who haven't maybe experienced this as much when it touches a loved one, what was that experience like and what were symptoms like for him? Because it seems like for everybody, it's you're essentially pulling something out of a bucket. You don't know what you're going to get with this virus.
Yeah, I think my dad had it back in March when it was very fresh and people didn't really know what was going on with it or what to expect from it. So it was very scary for us. We certainly didn't know what to think about it. So we just continue just to try to stay positive and give him the best help he could possibly get, you know, in our area. And you know, thankfully that he came out of it all right. It was definitely very stressful, and I wouldn't have wished on anybody.
Well, I wish your dad the best, and obviously the rest of your family. Thankfully, knock on wood. You know, in talking with you personally, I know they're all okay, and that's a wonderful thing to see. Miles, always a pleasure to talk with you. I hope you guys continue to remain safe during the pandemic, and I wish you the best of luck as you get ready for the playoffs, your fifth trip in a row. And thanks again for joining me, my man.
No, appreciate it, Doug.
If you want to hear more episodes of the Hoops Hype Podcast, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Until next time, I'm your host, Michael Scotto, wishing you and yours all the best.